Good morning. If you would turn to Exodus chapter 28, we'll be reading from there shortly. Exodus chapter 28. But first, I'd like to start off this morning with an article that I read a while ago. Now, this isn't the exact article I read because I couldn't find it. So I rewrote the article in a way that portrayed the ideas that the article said. So the article read something along these lines. Sunday morning had come, and the moment Adam woke up, he knew he was ready to serve God. As he stood in the shower, he prayed to God. While tying his tie, he hummed his favorite hymns. As he drove to services, he sang along with the hymns in his car. As Adam pulled into the parking lot, he couldn't wait to get into the building and start worship service. As he parked his car, some movement caught his eye. And before he knew it, his godly thoughts had turned into lustful ones. The way the woman's dress clung to her body was stuck in Adam's mind through the whole worship service. Little did this woman know that what she had chose to wear had caused Adam and three other men to sin. In our day and age, modesty is a big problem. We see it everywhere. We see it in commercials, TV shows, movies, ads. Everywhere we look, there is immodest apparel everywhere. And the same thing as this woman, she did not wear a modest dress. And not only is it her responsibility to wear a modest dress, but it was also Adam's responsibility to take his thoughts and get them from his mind, and not to meditate on these thoughts, but to get them out of his head. So it is the responsibility of both the women and the man to be modest. And we can see in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9 that we are commanded to be modest. It says, women, adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation. So modesty should be consistent with propriety and moderation. So this morning I would like to talk about modesty. I'm going to talk about why modesty is such a big deal. Why does it matter so much? And also talk about some problems that some Christians have with modesty. But first I'd like to start off with how to define modesty, or what modesty is. Well, modesty, the word itself, is defined as propriety in dress, speech, or conduct. Propriety meaning the quality or state of being. So let's read in Exodus chapter 28 and verse 42. Exodus 28 and verse 42. And you shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from the waist to the thighs. Now this is where they were being told what the priest should wear, and it says here, to make linen trousers to cover their nakedness. And then it gives the dimensions of the trousers, from the waist to the thighs. And thighs there being extending from the hip to the kneecap. So anything from the knee and above was considered nakedness. Also, look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Now, why did God make tunics of skin? Well, because earlier they had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in verse 7, we see what this tree, the fruit, did to them. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So their eyes were open, and they knew that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Coverings there being the Hebrew word chagorah, which refers to a girdle, apron, or belt that covered the loins, midsection, and waist. But let's see what happens in verses 8 through 10. Then they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden and in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." So even though Adam and Eve, his wife, had sewed fig leaves together, we can see they still considered themselves naked. They hid from God in the garden. So we can see that just the coverings that they made for themselves was not adequate enough to cover all of their nakedness. So we can see that naked isn't just considered no clothing at all, but it can also be considered with clothing on. And as we can see in verse 21, that God made tunics of skin for them. And the tunic, being the Hebrew word ketoneth, which commonly had sleeves and extended from the neck to the knee or below. So it never extended above the knee. So we can see that God made these tunics of skin to cover their nakedness. And these are the kind of principles that we should see what modesty is and what nakedness is considered. So now, why is modesty such a big deal? Why does it matter so much? It's just something that isn't much of a big deal. Well, it really is, because immodesty can cause others to sin. Look in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. Matthew chapter 5, 27 and 28. You have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Men's lustful passions sometimes get the best of them. When they look upon an immodest woman, they can sometimes have their desires aroused. Now, like I said before, it's not just the responsibility of the woman to wear modest clothing, but it's also the responsibility of the man to get these lustful thoughts out of his mind. So we can see that modesty or immodesty and problems with that wasn't just a big deal now in this day and age, but it also was back then, and that's why Jesus addressed it. And he says, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And it's mentioned in at least four other scriptures that adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we can see that immodesty or not wearing modest clothing is a stumbling block to others. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now when I started doing this lesson and filling out this lesson, I thought this would be a great verse and chapter to use because, you know, immodesty is a stumbling block. And this chapter here, it talks about being a stumbling block. But then I read through it and realized that immodesty didn't really fit with the context of the verse. Look in chapter 8 and verse 8. But food does not condemn us to God, for neither if we eat are we better, nor if we do not eat are we worse. So we can see that in the context here, it's talking about something that's not sinful. And it was commanded in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9 to be modest. So if we don't fulfill that commandment, to us it is a sin. And it's telling us that we need to, that food here is not a sinful thing, but immodesty is. And that should be the number one reason that we decide to wear modest clothing and not be immodest, is because it is a sin. And sin separates us from God. But I think we can get an idea or of a mindset from this chapter. In verse 13, we see that Paul states, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat. And that should be the second reason why we don't dress immodestly. We wear modest clothing. Is because it can cause our brethren to stumble. And we shouldn't want to do that. We shouldn't want to be a stumbling block to our brothers. Not only is immodesty a sin to others, but it is also a sin to others. And look what it says in Mark chapter 9 and verse 42. Mark chapter 9 and verse 42. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. It would be better if a millstone were hung into the neck and thrown into the sea. Jesus said it would be better for someone to drown than to cause one of the little ones who believe in him to stumble. So now this leads me on to my next point of who does immodesty affect? Well, immodesty affects anyone and everyone. It affected David. We all know the story of David, how he was on top of his roof and he saw Bathsheba bathing from across the way. And it was up to David to turn away and leave his thoughts away from him. But he didn't. He pursued her. He asked about her. And later he committed a defile act with her. And then later, to cover up that sin, the defile act, he had her husband murdered. And so, but look in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. David, a man after God's own heart, was affected by immodesty. If he can fall prey to immodesty, anyone can. This also leads me to my next point of who does immodesty apply to? Well, modesty applies to everyone, men and women alike. We as men can't just expect women to wear modest clothing and then for us to go out and wear no shirt or a tank top, something that's kind of immodest. We can't expect that. We can see that in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, that God not only clothed Eve, He also clothed Adam. So if immodesty only applied to women, then He would only clothe Eve. But He didn't. He clothed both Adam and Eve. Now this leads me on to when and where should modesty be practiced? Well, modesty should be practiced everywhere. And there are some people, and including Christians, that believe that it's okay to be immodest in certain places. One place that people think that is okay to be immodest in, or to compromise, is when playing sports. Now, I suffered with this because I wanted to do wrestling. I had never done wrestling before. And I thought, well, it's my senior year. This is the last chance I'll be able to do it. So I started asking around about it, and then I realized that the singlet that you wear during wrestling was not very modest. It was very thin straps around here, and it clung tightly to my body. And so I tried to ask the coaches, can I wear something else? And they said no. So instead of me compromising, I decided not to do it at all. But it's sad because there are some people who will compromise, and they will wear this immodest clothing just to do something that they love. Same thing with short shorts in a volleyball game. You know, volleyball is considered with women in short shorts that cling tightly to their body. And it's sad because most schools won't allow you to wear longer shorts because they say it's not proper team attire. And it's sad because many people some women will compromise and decide to wear these short shorts because they think, oh, well, everyone else is doing it, so what does it matter if I don't wear longer shorts? If I wear shorter shorts, it's okay. Well, no, it's not, because God told us to be shining lights in this world. And wearing these short shorts and not being different from the world is not being a shining light. Another place is when getting married or at a wedding. It's that special someone's day. You want to look really nice for the pictures that they're going to be taking. So it's okay to wear clothing, you know, just for this one day, this one special occasion. Well, like I said before, no, it's not, because we don't want to compromise. We don't want to be just because, oh, it's just one time. It doesn't matter if it's the one time. It's still a sin because we're breaking God's commandment. Another time is when it's in style. You know, nowadays we have, you know, clothing articles that cling tightly to the body that are really short. And this isn't just a nowadays thing. It happened in the past before. And, you know, people just think, well, why can I wear it if everyone else is? Well, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 tells us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if we are deciding to wear what's in style and being conformed to the world, doing things that the world does, that is normal in the world, then we're not being transformed and we're not showing that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And James chapter 4 and verse 17 tells us what happens when we know to do something that is good, yet we don't do it. To us it is a sin. So when we know it's good to wear modest clothing and to be different from the world, not to fit in with the world, yet we do it anyways, to us it is sin. Another time is when it's hot out. It's just so hot. Why can't I wear, you know, clothing that's a little shorter, that's more comfortable? Well, does God say in the Bible to keep modest unless the weather makes you uncomfortable? No, it never says that. Yet some people will compromise and decide to wear shorter clothing or less clothing because it's hotter out. But think to the women over in the other side of the world that wear the turbans and are dressed from head to toe, literally, in clothing, in 100-degree weather, in deserts. So if they can do it, so can we. Their religion makes them wear these things because it is considered immodest to show any kind of skin, really, over there. And yet, we over here as Christians or just people in general just say, oh, well, it's just so hot. We don't have to wear as much clothing to be modest as them over there, according to their religion. Because we can see from the study of immodesty what was considered naked. But yet, we still complain about it and cry about why, you know, oh, I just want to wear this because it's just so hot out. Another time is at a pool. The last issue I'm going to talk about is when we're at a pool. Now, there's a huge issue on mixed swimming and why is or is not okay because of all of the desires and everything associated with that. But people don't really look at the underlying issue. They don't see that the reason why all these problems happen is because of the immodestly dressed people inside the swimming pool. And I think a funny point is in John chapter 21 and verse 7. John chapter 21 and verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter had heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged in the sea. Peter didn't take off more clothes. He didn't leave his outer garment on the ship, plunge in the sea, and swim over to the Lord Christ. No, he decided to put on his outer garment and swim to Him, because Peter didn't want to approach the Lord and modestly dress. He wanted to come to the Lord in a modest apparel. And that's the kind of attitude we should have, is we want to be modest at all times, just like Peter wanted to be modest when he went for a swim. Now, I want to talk about some controversy that is surrounded with this. You know, I like looking at controversy because if there was no controversy surrounding modesty, there wouldn't really be a reason for me up here speaking about it. Well, some things that people will say about modesty is that since the Lord never specified what was modest, is it okay to wear whatever we want as long as we are clothed? Because that's the world's view. The world's view is, you know, if you wear just enough to cover certain areas, then it's okay and that it's modest. Well, that's not completely true. We can see that, and they say we can't draw lines of it since it's never specified. We can't draw any lines. Well, yes, we can, because many times the Lord expects us to draw lines on the commandments He gives us. Look in 2 Corinthians 9 and 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 6 and 7. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one of us give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver, and we are supposed to give generously. But how can we determine what is generous? It never specifies in the Bible how much money is generous. You know, the woman that put the two coins in the box, her offering was more generous than the people who put more money in than her. It's never specified. So we can see that the Lord expects us to draw lines in certain things. He expects us to draw the lines because we know what is generous. On the principles that He gives us on giving in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, we can determine where to draw the line of what is generous and what's not. If we can't, this commandment by the Lord is just, it wouldn't really matter to us because we couldn't determine what is generous. But we can. We can draw lines and we can determine what is generous. Also, we can see in what we decide to... The Lord tells us to be careful on the evil influences in our lives because it can affect us and our hearts. And we can see this in Proverbs 4 and verse 23 and 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. This being will affect the entertainment I decide to participate in, you know, such as TV shows and movies that I watch. But the Lord never specifies, you know, what kind of channels I can't watch. He never says you can't watch Channel 42 because the shows on there are immodest or evil and they are influences on your lives. It never specifies that. So we can see from here that we are expected. And the principles that we see in Proverbs 4 and 23 and 1 Corinthians 15, 33, we can see that we can determine or draw a line on what programs are fit to watch. And in the same way, the Lord gave us instruction on modest clothing. We may not know the exact length of a dress that goes to, but through our study of what was considered nakedness, we can see and determine what is modest and what is not. And we should also realize that when making the decision on what clothing to wear, it should be based on our love for the Lord. We are to obey God's commands to be saved. And by applying the principles and doing what is right based on those, we will be. Also, we don't want to take any unnecessary risk. If you feel like something is immodest, then it probably is. So why would you take an unnecessary risk and wear something that you're not 100% sure if it's modest or not, but so I'll wear it anyways? No, you should wear something that you know is modest, and wear that and not take any unnecessary risks. Now, the last point is how to correct this problem. The problem of the mindset of, oh, well, you know, it never really specifies what's modest in the Bible, so I'm just going to wear what I want. So how do we correct this problem? Well, first, it starts with the parents. Look in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Think back to years ago, 40 years ago, the kind of entertainment, the ads that played on the TV, or the commercials that played on the TV, the shows that were there, how not prevalent, and then think of now, and how immodest and everything the world is becoming, how little that they showed back 40 years ago, and how much they show now. Now, everything back then wasn't always modest, but it was not as prevalent as it is nowadays. So just because the world is becoming more immodest and is becoming more accepting of immodesty doesn't mean we should be. This relates back to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Also, as parents, you should teach your children the importance of being modest. You know, don't let them run around with immodest clothing at young ages 6, 7, and 8, because even though it may not have a big effect then, when they're 17, 18, and 19, when they get older, where immodesty can affect them and other people, then it will be harder for them to change their habits if you showed them that it's okay to be immodest at this certain age. But if you showed them to be modest when they were younger, then it is less likely for them to be immodest when they are older. And it also, to correct this problem, is with children. Look in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So, children, we are supposed to obey our parents. And if our parents tell us to wear modest clothing and tell us what is modest, we should obey those things. I don't think there's anyone here who would tell their children something that is harmful to them. So we, as children, should listen and understand what they're telling us is for our benefit. Also, look in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. It's a pretty bold statement there. He who loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. So us as children should love instruction and teach what our parents teach us, and not hate the correction that they tell us when we do something wrong. So thank you this evening, or this morning. We looked at the definition of modesty. Why is it such a big deal? Who it affects? When and where modesty should be practiced? Some controversy surrounding this, and how to correct this problem. I hope this study has been beneficial to you in determining what is modest and what is not, and that we can apply it in our lives and show our children and the world what is modest. So if there are any here this morning who have not obeyed the wills of the Lord, you have become a Christian, but you have kind of fallen away, strayed from the straight and narrow path, we ask you to come forward, asking God for forgiveness. And us as brethren, we will pray for you and help you and encourage you through these things. Or if you have not become a Christian at all, we ask you this morning to come forward. If you have heard the Word of God and you truly believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we ask you to come forward, repenting of your sins, asking God for forgiveness. Then confess that He is Lord, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and be baptized, fully immersed in water, for the remission of your sins, and remain faithful unto death. If any of this applies to you, or you'd like to make anything made known, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.